El podcast más chingón. Puras entrevistas machín.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the What Did He Said podcast. It's your host, Chingo Blingo, with the big tamarindo. And we have... and Marisol is impersonating our daughter. Little Bam Bam inside.
We have Marisol. What's up, everyone?
We have producer Rob
What's
in the
up,
building.
What's up, everyone? How are you?
And we got my homie Frank Lopez, a.k.a. Compound Films, joining us today. Compound. Burr, 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 burr.
Hey, if I connected a soundboard, would you want to use it? Like sound be effects. One of those shows where we just like drop
totally.
All the sound effects.
Totally. Yeah. That's why I just made the sound effect.
Get a sound effect where they drop cash though.
Ooh, yeah. That's it.
So my boy Frank, man, speaking of cash, I was asking him yesterday about Bitcoin because he's one of the most techiest singularity AI type of motherfuckers I know, even though he's from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met him, it was all Air Force Ones. It was all like Versace Lokes.
Now look at him.
Fitted hats. And now, hey, you made my you made the babysitter nervous, bro, because you had the suit on. She's like, hey, este güey quién?
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Este güey es importante. Like, shit, I should have cleaned up. This motherfucker got a suit.
Yeah. That's you know, people look at you different, man. But I wanted to set something off real quick, and I think it's pretty interesting. I was riding up here, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, today's September 11th.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Very sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like nobody's ever said it. And I wanted to say, like...
What you finna say, man?
On the radio, they were on 97.9, they're like, yeah, think back. Where were you when this happened?
Oh, they're trying to like, yeah, I feel you.
And I was riding. I was like, okay, where was I? I was like in school. And I'm like, well, how did I feel about it? Like, I remember looking around like, anybody, can I curse on?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, man, nobody really gave a fuck. Like,
because y'all felt like it was so far away, or y'all were too young to understand.
It was almost like, yeah, we see this shit on TV and people are dying, but the people dying in that building don't look like us out here. Like, this is, it's almost like when you're you know, when you're in the hood and shit, that's like all you know. Like,
detached from.
You need to put the mic closer to your mouth.
Yeah, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, like, when you're from the hood, like, you don't care about anything outside of that. Like, that's why with politics is like, yo, whatever y'all do, it's not going to affect us. We're still going to be, you know, trying to pump gas and shit. Like, y'all really talking like y'all just going to change shit, but it's not.
Well, that's interesting because, not to get too political, that's interesting because a lot, what is it called? Voter apathy? Or what is it? Like, when you just, people are just like, hey, man, it's all a charade. Mm. The shit's rigged. Either way, it doesn't really affect us. Or we're fucked either way. Mm-hmm. Recession or no recession. Regardless of like what they might say on TV, like unemployment is low or whatever.
But I just want to kind of like put that out there is that, you know, you'll get a day, like if 100 people died, right? But let 100 people in Chicago die, them boys don't get no day. Like it's just like,
well, yeah, they look at that different.
So it's like, okay, we look at that almost like how y'all look at us. It's like, well, I mean, what you want me to do? Like cry about 100 people gone. Meanwhile, this is what we see every day. Mm. How am I supposed to be sad and upset over something we see all the time?
Desensitized, I think he's what
but
he's
the
saying.
Difference,
I'm trying to
think,
save it.
Wait, but
so
I
we
think,
don't lose all our New York listeners. Like, this motherfucking disrespect.
Well, I think the difference also is 100 people die in Chicago. It's not necessarily because of a terrorist attack. This was a little bit different. Right. I mean, we're talking about airplanes going through a damn building.
It's like surreal. It's like, what the fuck?
Speaking of where were you, I had just moved back from College Station and I was going to U of H. And I remember I turned on the TV and I was like, what movie is this?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is watch Good Morning America. And that was my kind of thing. But the news, our local news, had interrupted it. And so I was like, they really interrupted Good Morning America for this movie? What is this movie? It was like that. I was like,
CGI. Looking.
Then I changed it. I was like, oh shit, it's on every channel. What's going on? I finally stopped. And it was like, as I was changing it, that's when I saw the second airplane hit, and I was like, oh shit,
watch the
like
movie
legit,
Vice
bro.
Watch the movie Vice.
Yes, I haven't seen it.
Watch the movie Vice.
It's the craziest thing ever, and it's so sad. I guess my thing, the one thing I hate the most is that the news plays it all over again and again and again. And for people who are trying to overcome that trauma, to overcome losing their loved one, it's a reminder every 9/11. You don't think they're reminded of it every day? And then here you go and dedicate a whole, I get it, like, you, let's honor the people who you know, who went in there and tried to save people. Let's honor people who passed.
And let's also never forget, right?
Right, exactly. Totally. Like, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, it's like, no one wants to keep watching images of people jumping out the window trying to save their life. It's like, do I run down the stairs to escape this, or do I jump out the window? I burn up? You know, it's like, who wants to keep, I don't know, whenever I hate that stuff, or when a hurricane happens and they just keep playing those images of,
I can't imagine, like, I can't imagine what those people were feeling or going through when it's like, you know, a big ass roaring fire going on, like, right upon you, and then the other side, you know, like, to your right there's a fire, to your left there's a window. And like, how, you know what I'm saying, like, do you throw something through it? Like, are some fucked up decisions.
Yeah,
I do want to polish up what I said, though. At the same time, too, when we're watching it on TV,
this is Frank Lopez.
This is Frank Lopez. When you're watching it on TV,
on the north side
at Compound Foods,
you almost think, like, as a kid, like,
follow him.
I'm at this weak ass high school or middle school, whatever it was. Like, I'm never going to go to New York. Like, I'm never going to meet a New Yorker. I'm never going to be over there. And I guess there is a disconnection. It's like, well, this is...
And you were in what grade?
I was like in... I don't remember. I was just... I'd say... I don't even remember.
How old? High school or middle school?
It was like... I was young. I don't remember what grade.
What year did you graduate
from? Class of 04, but this was like...
Okay. I was 08, so I was in like 7th grade. So you
you were tiny, like 5th grade?
Like a kid. I was a kid.
No, he's older. You were in high school.
Oh, okay, my bad. Numbers. So you'd be like ninth
not
grade.
Not high school.
Yeah,
ninth
grade. His frontal lobe, and his brain went fully formed.
Frontal cortex.
So, yeah. I referenced the movie Vice, and I want to go back and before I'm off on my history details, but the fucked up thing about it, number one, the never forget thing. We saw, what's his name, John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
He went in front of, I believe, Congress or something, where he was like, hey, we were supposed to have this fund.
Oh, for the firefighters.
So that we would never forget the first responders that are dying of lung diseases and cancers and asbestos and all this stuff.
Asbestos.
Y'all motherfuckers forgot, basically. He was like, y'all said y'all would never forget, and y'all forgot.
Yeah.
So find the fucking money before you get to promising people shit. And then in the movie Vice, if I'm not mistaken, what happened was you had Dick Cheney running shit. And then you had George Bush, who was the president.
Yeah.
And what happened was a terrorist cell, you know, Osama bin Laden took credit. He was like, yeah, we did that shit. Supposedly, they already had clues and people were like, hey, like, I don't know if the CIA was like, hey, man, they talking about according to the data or whatever. Anyway, the event happens. We all know the image of Bush was at a school reading and they came to tell him, right? Well, what happened after that, this is where my details get a little iffy. What happened after that is Osama bin Laden is operating, what was his little clique, his little gang? Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Qaeda, right?
The thugs.
Out of Afghanistan, he was dropping video mixtapes out of a cave with the breathing machine and shit. Okay, nobody could find him. All right. Soon thereafter, we invade Iraq.
Yeah.
And from what I recall in the movie, they were like, the American people don't understand what a terrorist cell is. We can't just say we're going after Al-Qaeda. They're like, what country is Al-Qaeda? It's not a country. It's a starfish. It's not a spider. It's like a bunch of radicalized extremists who are all on the same mission. Basically, go do some damage and you're gonna get rewarded in the afterlife. So now, in the movie, what happened was is they were like, how are we going to invade Iraq if it was Al-Qaeda over here in Afghanistan, the tall guy, bin Laden. Supposedly they were like, hey, well, we just got this this report or this snitch or a drone caught of image of this one cat who's from this one country who happened to live in Iraq for about 6 months. He has ties to Iraq. We could say that, right? And then he somehow had a meeting in Afghanistan in a cave with bin Laden. Can we invade Iraq? And then Tyler Perry's character, he had to go read a thing like, we have this guy's name and there's a connection and we believe he has weapons of mass destruction. And next thing you know, the dad, Bush Sr., had already started Desert Storm. Now we have, I guess, the Gulf War. So now you have generations of people who's like, oh, my dad served the Desert Storm. Now you got the 18-year-old son. We still out there. And then next thing you know, Halliburton stock goes up 500% and then we take all the oil.
I'll tell you like this.
That's the fucked up part of
I wonder how many men in the military, right, just kind of are watching and thinking, why are we here? What's my purpose?
What? Like, and why am I watching this podcast?
And, no, no.
Who is this guy in this suit disrespecting?
Like, you know, every shield. Like, are they like kind of sitting back like, fuck, I'm away from my family. There's no purpose of me being here. What are we fighting for exactly? Hold on. Let me finish my thought. And I don't get to see my kids go to school every morning. I don't, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and then something just goes off in their head and it's like, I want to get out, but they can't because they signed a 6-year or a 4-year, whatever it is. And it's like, well, yeah, it looks like you're stuck here. Otherwise you, you know, get a dishonorable discharge.
I'll say I
that is the opinion of Marisol Martinez.
I don't have the last name. Notice that, right? What was my last name?
Hey, before we get all the soldiers sending hate mail, like, I don't appreciate how y'all said my mission is pointless. That's not what we said.
No, that's
we
not what
said
I said.
When you get homesick and like, you miss
that,
your girl.
Is that what you're thinking? Like, I'm curious. Is that what the thoughts that go through your head?
Yeah, right. Sorry. Well, how about we start right here?
First of all, we started with 9/11. So what were you saying, Frank?
I'll say, man, I learned a lot from this, you know, and I mean, you know, if I were to become president, I think I know how to win.
I was like, this 5-minute conversation?
Are you about to go public?
I think I know how to win.
This just in.
You know, what I would do, man, to fight terrorism out there, I'd send in, you know, Rap A Lot. Me and Jay Prince gonna be on the phone and we gonna work this stuff out with Al Qaeda.
Jay Prince would take care of it.
And we gonna make it happen. You know,
yeah, the tall guy in the cave with the breathing machine.
Let this be.
I can't promise health care, but I promise that I'm gonna have them boys stop breaking into your car and your houses in the hood and shit.
Yeah, all that's getting cut out. Anybody chain getting snatched, all that's getting cut out.
Baby mom's gonna be way calm, you know. They're going to get free purses every month. We're going to calm them down. You know?
And a good way to tie this all together. I don't know if you checked out Jay Prince's book.
No.
Respect.
Have you heard the audio book, Jay Prince? No. Okay. Well, to tie it all together, there was a chapter where Jay Prince donated to his church, right? This church is very big, and it has a lot of basically a lot of Democrats like to go there. Like Al Gore went there to try and go speak and meet the people to get some votes, right? Yeah. They like to tap into the community, especially the Democrats, especially. So Al Gore was there. Jay Prince was invited with his wife, and he felt like a lot of these Secret Service people or these extra people were really focusing in on him heavily. Maybe it's because he's a donor to the church. Long story short, he didn't feel comfortable. They were like, hey, aren't you going to take a picture with Al Gore? He's like, nah, I'm cool. I don't even really like, in the book, he says it. What happened was Ross Perot from Dallas, billionaire, who was running at the time and I think was going to go head to head against Al Gore. Ross Perot has ties to the Dallas Morning News. He kind of wanted a story planted that somehow... we need a picture of Al Gore and Jay Prince together so that this rumor that they made up of Jay Prince gave Al Gore $500,000 to help for the campaign and so on and so forth. And it's crazy how somebody like Ross Perot or someone with a lot of influence could just plant a story in the newspaper. You would think, some shit that I read in the paper. Maybe that only happens like at a smaller local level. But I don't know if they got in trouble for that shit, but that's kind of crazy if you think about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm running against somebody, I could just try and tie them in and make up this thing that he gave him $500,000. And I heard that rumor and I believed it. I was like, yo, it makes sense to me. Jay Prince got bread. Why wouldn't he? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now the president down with the mob.
Yeah, mob tie. Yeah,
but on a lighter note, today Penny turns 1 year, 2 months.
A year and 2 months. Yeah, on a light.
Thank you, Penny, Valentina.
Yeah.
We got to get our sound effects budget up right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Now. You know, once we get less political, we're going to have more sponsors.
I know, right? Like, we're going to touch the show for a while.
But we did touch this, the 9/11 thing on another episode.
We have done that, yeah.
Where I mentioned how I was on my way to work at the time. It was at Citibank, and... it was a big place where they had like a call center and all that type of stuff. And some people were like, this is kind of like a federal building, right? Because it's FDIC insured and it's federal and it's really big. People started getting scared because they're watching the buildings, you know. And the crazy thing is, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but the building around the corner fell too.
Hell yeah.
Building 7.
Oh, right, right.
Imploded. Right, no, building 7 just imploded. And it's like, once I was there, I was at work, and a lot of the ladies were panicking because a lot of their husbands and boyfriends or family members were in the military. Yeah. It's San Antonio. It's like a ton of military people. Yeah. So they were like, oh shit, we're going to retaliate. Are we going to war? Is the husband going to get shipped off? Are the kids going to be like, dad's leaving?
Like an Amazon order.
You know,
shipped off.
For real.
I do want to touch on some subject.
I'm so scared of what Frank's gonna say. Listen,
Bitcoin.
I just wanted to say. I know that you got a lot of comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you? Are you excited about these new things that you got coming up?
Great segue, Frank.
Meanwhile, I'm pulling up like a study that a school just did recently, but never forget it. Forget it. Yeah, it's all good.
They're going down the wormhole and shit. Look into it.
Well, crisis actors. Listen, no, but to incorporate both, right? We're speaking of 9/11 and then your transition or your comedy, what you're bringing up. You're not a comic who speaks on these things, too.
Not really.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Not really. So you were saying what exciting things?
What are you excited about with this comedy stuff? Okay. Coming?
Well, I just made 5 years.
5 years.
Really?
Congratulations.
My first show, I was on August 15th. Frank, where was that place over there by Rice University? It was upstairs.
You were with Frank.
Bamboo.
Right? You did the show with Frank.
Frank put the show together, and he had a whole lineup, and I was like, man, I just want some stage time. It was called Bamboo.
Oh, yeah, Bamboo.
And Marisol's friend, Yaneth, went and,
I thought that was at the Improv, babe. No?
Was she filmed?
Yeah.
That was my first show ever is where she filmed. So I met some of the guys from Corpus. Javi wasn't there. I met Jacob and Andy that day. And Andy told me, dude, it's your comedy birthday, brother. Like, remember this day. Welcome to the game. And I was like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And
that's kinda cool.
Anyway, so Yaneth was filming. And you're not supposed to film. She filmed it. And you're not supposed to show it.
The whole thing.
She's horrible. First time up, really. And she shows it to my girl, my girlfriend at the time, Marisol.
I wasn't your girlfriend yet, babe. I think we were just dating.
In my mind, what's the difference?
Shit.
What's the difference? If I'm dating you, we go together.
What she's trying to say is she was still seeing other people.
I was still swiping right.
Man, let's go back to 9/11.
She was still going through comments at that time.
The truth comes out.
She still had booking in bio. All that got cut out.
No.
All that got cut out.
No, we were dating. We were super new, like super duper new, like a week in.
No, a week? Really?
Well, like officially.
I was hollering. We weren't married. How about that? We weren't married yet. And we hadn't had the incident where at my birthday, it was at a club, Fox and Hound, and Mighty Soul was helping my sisters decorate my birthday. If you are a girl and you helping my sisters decorate my birthday, we go together. So she was like, oh, by the way, the bartender dude or whoever was like, hey, who you here with? What's going on? What you about? You know, what you drink? This and that. What it do? And I'm like, okay, so what'd you tell him? She was like, he was like, are you with Chingo? And she was like, well, I mean, we talking, but I don't know if we together.
That was my way of saying, like, so are you my boyfriend or are you not?
I'm not used to just asking.
Like, we still get asked? Like, I didn't know people still ask. I'm just supposed to assume. You can't assume you're just exclusive to someone, right?
No, absolutely not.
In my mind, it had an exclusive vibe.
Would you do things to kind of almost like send the signal, like, almost like a nudge? Like, would you do
I'm not the aggressive type. So
really?
not in the dating game. I'm more like shit, he ain't calling me. It looks like he ain't interested, so why am I gonna call him type of thing, you know? So it was kinda like I would not saying I would wait around for him, but if he didn't text me, I wasn't texting him.
For one, you know, I was a little rusty. You know, I had been out of the game, number one. Two, you know, I was in a semi-long relationship prior to that. And then three, I'm not that smart and good when it comes to like social cues. I might be on the spectrum. My social cue, I don't know what I got. Asperger's?
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck I got.
Asperger's. Not the Asperger's.
I might be on the spectrum. I don't know. But I just kind of assumed that we went together. And I was just like, what do you mean you ain't say that's my man because I'm decorating his birthday party?
Were you surprised when he finally said it, or were you like,
I figured.
I was like, no, we go together.
I was like, oh, okay, we do? Okay, cool. I just wanted to like make that clear.
Nip that. Yeah, let's nip it.
Let's make it clear so that I know if I need to delete all these other nonsense.
Shit.
Things get weird when Frank's around. We need to have him over more often.
Yeah. Hey,
that's because Frank, I met Frank's been in the very beginning of the relationship too. So I met him early on.
Doing boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Dad, you gonna piece him up?
That's what everybody
says. Because we were doing like the boxing thing in the park. I'm like,
the mitts.
Take that boy's head off.
I actually did the training for, like, we did the whole thing.
So she was my boot camp instructor / you know, party decorator. You know what I'm saying?
I started buffing up.
You know what I'm saying?
Then my mother was born.
And my mother was born.
We got the my mother wig back.
Oh, nice.
I ordered a new one.
Do you ever like, does it ever get to the point where?
Grab that mic.
I'm sorry. Do you ever get to the point? Grab that mic. Do you ever get to that point where like sometimes you'll step back and be like that's crazy. Like, you know, like this is some chingo stuff. What? Like you ever just take a step back and be like some surreal shit. Like I never would have thought I'd be.
Well,
Chingo.
Yeah, because I met Chingo years ago, and we exchanged phone numbers years ago, like in 2000. I had just come back from College Station, too. I was, like, new to Houston, so I was just, like, starting to go out to the clubs again, because in College Station, it's different. You go to bars, so you don't really do, like, the club thing.
It's just
so,
Northgate, right?
Yeah, just it's just North. Square. Yeah, it's just that one square, exactly. So it was, like, and then it was, like, karaoke nights, and then
Rob used to run through Northgate. You could tell
100%.
So there you go. So
two stepping all night,
and you from Richmond Rosenberg.
Yeah, Needville. Yeah.
Needville is that vibe of College Station.
Yeah,
well, College Station might be a little bit now more bougie.
I'm tripping on how far he had to drive for some coochie. That's what I'm trying.
Needville small. I ran the circle real quick.
Because then you had to go past Houston all the way to Bryan College Station.
So then I met him, and then we kind of exchanged phone numbers, and I was like, yeah, I'm sure he gives his number to everybody, so I'm not worried about that phone number. I just kind of stuck it in my bag, and it was like, okay.
I looked at hers, and I was like, not right now. I ain't going to be able to do it right now.
Yeah.
But in terms of a surreal moment, sometimes we'll be like, taking a walk around the block with the wagon and our kid is in it. And it's like, that's the shit that's like, what the fuck? This kid is here. Now she's got these teeth and her hair is long and she's like wanting to talk.
Well, I didn't think it was going to go here. I didn't think I was going to marry this person, if that's what you mean. Like, I didn't think like when we were talking, because it was kind of like, because I'm not aggressive like that, it was kind of like weird between us. I too had just come out of a long relationship. So it was weird between us, was it not? Like, you wouldn't hear from me, I wouldn't hear from you, and it was like, oh, what's up with you? I'm like, well, what's up with you? Like, I mean, we're neither one, because like I hadn't been out of the game or in the game my last relationship was for 8 years.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? I had not dated anybody else. I didn't know, what do you do? And I was definitely, I've never been the one to either, even before, to like really text or you know, be all up on a guy. Bitch, either you talk to me or you don't. I mean, that's all it is to it. Right? There's way other, like,
ain't
more
nobody thirst.
Exactly. There's way more things in this world to do than to worry about one male. But you know, it worked out, and we're together now.
Sound effects again. Yeah. Get the sound effects.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Big good boys, morning. Neighborhood.
Little cowbell. Do you still feel that same nervousness when you first started stand up to like now? Like, do you go on stage saying, I got this shit?
It's a different nervousness. So
is it an excited nervousness?
It's almost like a focused nervousness. It's almost like a checklist where I try to make. So you got to remember too, like, I have been going on stage in a different capacity for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even though I feel like I didn't really hone in the craft of performing music all the way, it still was practice enough to where I knew when it was a good show and when it was like, felt like I didn't really connect. You know what I'm saying? Or I didn't really end it as good as I wanted to. And so just kind of having a little bit of that knowledge and then having confidence in your script and your act, and then having confidence in your ability to not panic when it's silent, or your ability to freestyle some shit if there's a heckler, all those little tools, you start to, you're still nervous a little bit, butterflies, but you got to fake it. You have to like not show it as much. Make
the funk. I got some an interesting memory. Remember when you would perform, and I think you had learned from the blues musicians, mm-hmm. and you say sometimes they would go up there and close their eyes and do it. And I remember one time you used to go on stage,
really,
and then you'd perform and you'd close your eyes because you had sunglasses on, uh-huh. and then we'd, you know, it would be kind of like some of your best shows.
Mm.
And yeah. And how does that tie into what you do now?
Now I can't close my eyes. Now I can't. The thought has crossed my mind about should I go up there with some shades and then roast myself after? Like, who am I kidding? That's interesting. I think it was jazz or some shit I had heard about that, but
or the similarities of. Because when you perform a song, you got to know the lyrics, you got to perform it, and then with stand-up, you got to know the words, you got to perform it. Is there like a, like did you learn something from music that you take into comedy in terms of being on stage like that?
That's a good question.
Well, yeah, like.
Good question, Frank.
Well, some things from music would be like stage presence, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to command the stage a little bit. And I remember some comics would tell me in the beginning, like in the very beginning, like, well, you already have stage presence, or you have decent stage presence considering you're like super new. So it's almost like it doesn't match up. Like you don't have the material, but you're present.
he's enjoying this bombing way too much.
Yeah, he's there. But
he's there.
Needs a script.
Did the hat help you? Like when you used to wear the hat, did that help you?
It made me sweat more.
Like it didn't.
No, I see what you're saying, because you know how, who was it? Was it Seinfeld that says once he puts that jacket on, he knows it's like, it's a time to like, that is his time. So was your hat like your, almost like the superpower, like all the magic, you hear all the sounds of magic and then you just become Chingo?
Which we talked about creating like a Chingo superhero, and we were brainstorming what
Chingo
if,
man.
What if he looks like Chingo 1.0 and maybe he has to like run in, I don't know if he's going to run into a taco truck to change or some shit.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't think about
that. But like what would his superpower be? But you're right. That initial look, like you got to remember, man, I was just a DJ. I was just a broke college student that had no, was making no traction in the world of getting a real job with your degree. Mm-hmm. So you got all this student debt. You're a schoolboy. Like you're not a thug. You're not a gangster. All the rappers were claiming and trying to sell and portray the same thing. Everybody was trapper. Hella tattoos, we do all the pills, all the drugs, all the syrup. And it's like, okay, well, what are you going to say that's different? And how are you going to convincingly navigate these waters?
Rap about business.
Or like, you know what I'm saying?
Business
like,
class.
It's like shark infested waters. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you got like people trying to sign you. So you're having to juggle the business side mm-hmm. with the artistic side. But having that, like he said, the shades and all that, it does, it was a... like a mask. It was almost a little bit like a not a security blanket. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like you're about to go on, but you wearing all your stuff. You know, you got
like
your
a
little
cushion.
Yeah, you got all your little jewelry and stuff. And because hip hop a lot of times is a lot about what's the word? Like peacocking or what's the word?
Peacocking.
Like you trying to shine. Like alpha like, you know, on some like
glow up.
You know what I'm saying? Like some alpha shit.
Peacocking is the best term.
Yeah, so that you're able to fake the funk and confidently. Because think about it. Before Drake, in hip hop, a lot of people weren't emo. Before Drake was one of the first ones to not only could give you some battle raps and some like little R&B singing, but he was like introspective. And he was talking, he was giving you his complicated life. And he was talking about thoughts and emotions. Mm-hmm, and before that, everybody was braggadocio, top down, say the, it ain't the roof down, the titties is out, you know, because the drop the top on the coupe, you know.
That's in the next EP, what's going
on? No, actually, Nas said that. Don't say I dropped the top, shut say up, the titties is out. You know, it's all about the rims and, you know, Jay-Z, prime example, you know, it's all about the same drug dealing storytelling.
So. Yeah.
Mm. And so how were you able to navigate through that?
Well, for one, like I said earlier, like I was just a college student. So I knew some people were going to try to like, you know, pull your card. Like, you say you're from the hood, but you went to college. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody's going to try to like expose you and try to be like, oh man, this dude, you know, he ain't hard. And it's like, bitch, I never said
I was. Where they at now? Go ahead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
you ever heard of Lil Dicky's professional rapper with Snoop Dogg?
No.
No? You ever heard it? Any Lil Dicky fans?
Oh, yeah. That video they did together?
Yeah. It's funny because it's just about that. Like, I guess he gets signed by Snoop or whatever. But the video is animated. It's like a cartoon, the entire music video. In the middle of it, Snoop's like, he's a thug, you know, he's gangster. And he's like, what are you bringing to the table? And Lil Dicky's like, you're missing the angle. Like, he's a comedic kind of rapper. Uh-huh. And the story that he paints is brilliant.
That's kind of, I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure he answers that question because there's like a nugget in it that people don't know where he was so nervous his first show that he threw up.
I was about to throw up. I was like,
what, at the comedy show?
No,
Chingo
Blaine. Music.
But so how were you, how did, so, did you know?
All right, so this is what it was. I was college radio DJ. I was networking with local San Antonio rappers like Faye Dog, Tone City Records, people like that. And I was like, hey man, just trying to get in and like be a part of some shit and just like offer the services. Like, hey man, I got an idea for a skit. You know, maybe when y'all are done with this song, maybe I could just jump in there and I could just kind of show you what the idea is and you can use it on your CD. And it'd be like, all right man, what you got? And it'd be like, I'll be like, I'm trying to sign you and this and that, right? So they'd be like, oh, this guy's kind of, he's pretty funny. Yeah. So I made the cut. I'm like, oh shit, I'm track 7. All right. And then somehow, some way, it'd be like, hey, we're going to have a show over here, blah, blah, blah. Let me talk to the promoter. Yo, you know DJ Biz from 91.7, the college radio. Oh, the college radio. Okay. Well, he does this Chingo Bling thing and he wants to do like 5 minutes or something. So it starts there. And then there, okay, so the first show and you're talking about?
Yeah, and how did you design the shorts, the boots, and the hat?
Well, I had zero budget. So in the beginning, I went to like a Goodwill or some shit like that to get the boots. I got the cowboy hat from Walmart. And then I had foil in the grill. And there was probably no jewelry or like some really fucked up costume.
No, it's fucked up. It's like that, sterling silver, because I have.
That was not the beginning. That was like, oh, bitch, I got a chain now with some cubic zirconias in it. You know, and it's silver, but it looked like white gold.
Silver.
Yeah, it's like platinum with a little bit of silver. A little bit of platinum with some silver. It's silver. So anyway, the show he's talking about, where I was almost about to throw up. So somehow, some way, hey, man. They actually need a host for the my homeboy's throwing the show. It's in downtown San Antonio. So we leave in the South Side.
It's not easy.
It ain't in the South Side. It's not at Arturo's Ballroom. No. It's downtown at a club. A real club. And they said SPM might show up. SPM might show up. So I'm going to be up there hosting. SPM's going to be watching me host. So I'm like, shit. So Flatline, rest in peace, was there. He was on the lineup. And I remember us like parking somewhere and like walking to the venue. And as we're like walking down the sidewalk, I'm just thinking to myself, like, the fuck are you thinking, dude? Like, you have no business doing this. Like, you've never done this. SPM's going to be there. And I'm just like, like mom spaghetti with 8 Mile. I was just like, I can't do this.
How old are you?
I was probably like 20 or 21, but you gotta remember, I'm dressed like a fucking fool. Who's gonna have these little boots and shorts and a cowboy hat and stuff, and you're gonna be up there trying to be funny and silly? Let's see how this goes. So not a lot of people showed up, thankfully, and I just kind of winged it. Hey, it's the way. Get the end of it. Hey, this guy reminds me of the rato from over there at the flea market. And da da da. And hey, mira, watch out. Hey, mira chiquita, look at my diamonds. You know, and then freestyle some shit about that. I know you think it looks like foil, but it's not. Da 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 da. Supposedly they were like, nah, SPM and his boy, they got into it with some cops outside, and they talked. You know, they couldn't come in, but you did good. You know.
Here's and, 5.
Yeah. You know, yeah, he's 5 for your troubles. 2 for the bus. Dude.
God bless you.
Yeah. And
then he gave you some more foil. Just kidding.
Yeah. Dude, I used to have to roll with like, oh, I got a show. Let me get a little square of foil. Keep it folded up for a showtime. And I already kind of just knew how to tear it. So it would be if you make it too small, it's not going to cover. It's not going to be wide enough for the grill.
He got a holster for his aluminum.
DIY. Babe, you should do a DIY.
We used to do that with bubblegum, with gum wrapper.
Yeah.
And I did it for a living.
Yeah.
And also to bring up something funny is that he ultimately got on a song about some grills.
Oh yeah,
like, that's my favorite song.
By then I had a real grill.
Yeah,
no, that's wild, my though. I've told the story. Yeah, yeah, that's my favorite song.
By then we had shit. We had it was the show was on like we were moving. Like my sister was like, you know, momager, right hand woman, accountant, like making sure that. At the end of the day, like, mijo, I'm putting, you know, I got you on a budget, but you're going to have your down payment for your house. And before you know it, it's like, hey, he's playing around, but he's buying a house. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of T-shirts. And, like, the kids really like his CDs. And, like, mm-hmm. hey, you know people dressing like you for Halloween? And, hey, he's about to buy another house. You know what I'm saying? Like, thanks to the help and the team and the staff that we had. And then I got tired of being on a budget. And it's like, man, he ain't bought a house in a minute, you know. But he do got a nice car though, and, you know. He does party a lot. I see he got new jewelry. So yeah, there's a lot of learning.
And also to bring up a memory, like I remember, like I had, I think it was about 2007, I would say 2008. I remember I had met him, right? But just to go to the memory, I remember, like it was just a crazy because you got to see it to understand. I remember. We'd be in Laredo when then we walked into a mall. I'm talking about just walking in there, and then he's got the whole thing on, and all of a sudden, like people are running. Yes,
the
up
waking
to him.
Is like
I'm talking about,
like how these little rappers dress now. Where it's like, who is this? Okay, let me guess. Now it's like face tats. You know, you're on pills.
Oh my god! Good imagine thing you weren't if you in that. Done that.
Yeah, generation.
Good
thing
I was. Oh my god!
Oh man!
Your sisters would have killed you anyway, so it's a good
one
thing.
One time I did a prank. I think. I was getting an actual tattoo. I was like in Indiana, hanging out with Pac out there in Chicago. Yeah. And homeboys tatted my chest. I'm like, hey, I want to do a prank. And we made it look like I was getting a face tat.
Oh,
and then I posted it. And everybody from like Gina Rodriguez to like my family, like I think my sister called, like, what are you doing? They just thought like mental health, like intervention. He's losing it. He's getting face tats now. But that walking around the mall shit, I always tell Marisol. I was like, back before we had Facebook ads and YouTube ads or Google ads, and it's like, this was, like, if you have a show that night or the night after or whatever, it's like, you better walk around the mall. Because that's, it's like, where are the people at? They're at the flea market, they're at the mall. Walk around, you already look crazy. A couple people might stare because they're like, who in their right mind would dress like that? And then a couple people might recognize you. Those three people might want a photo, which leads to the other three nosy people like, well, fuck, let me get one just in case. Before you know it, you got a nice little commotion going. And now they're like, oh, I think there's a show in town tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the shit you had to do back before there was like Instagram.
Running ads. Yeah. I'm, and just to like add more detail, like I'm talking about he got swarmed. Like, I'm talking about
and he got kicked out of the mall, right?
Well, we got kicked out of the mall in Bradenton, Florida one time.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But definitely we had, they kicked us out because he was stopping too much shit.
That's
going
hilarious.
On.
And Frank, can you, so everybody's listening, if you saw the Dragon Ball Z, if you saw the Toy Story, the way those clips came about is we would literally be like young, starving artists hanging out. Like it'd either be at Frank's house or it'd be like at my house or something. And or like one of like the studios or some shit. Mm-hmm. And real quick, I'm just gonna set it up, and we'd be like, we weren't speaking in terms of, hey man, we gotta make content to engage. It wasn't that. It was just like, hey man, this music shit is crazy. I don't know. And then the idea.
I'll tell a funny story that I've told before, and I think it's got to be told. It's a great story. So the Toy Story skit. So a lot of people don't know that it almost didn't happen. And the reason I say is because, you know, of course, he said, we just jump into it. We don't plan it. It's just like, all right, pull up a clip. And at that time, I was amazed as hell. I'm like, how the fuck is he?
How do we freestyle?
How's he talking? Just freestyle of these fucking voices. And they look like they go, you know, and that was at the time I didn't see a lot of voiceovers. I'm like, amazed as fuck. I'm like, god damn. But so we ended up doing the Toy Story skit. And it was a scene where it was the aliens in the vending machine. Mm-hmm. The claw, and he kept trying it over and over and over and over and over. It just wasn't going, and then they got, you know, frustrated, and then they were like, "All right, man, you know, we're just gonna head out," and they were heading out, and while they were heading out, I was pulling up another clip where it was Toy Story. I mean, it was Buzz and Woody, right? Mm-hmm. And then I pull it up, And then I'm like, yo, let's try it one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
Let's try it with this clip. Maybe it's the clip. And pull it up. I'm talking about first take.
Yeah, it was,
that's how it goes down.
Me and your cousin Willie.
Yeah.
And
I'm talking about like I didn't even have to edit it. So what you're watching is like not even editing.
Was that one take?
It was one take.
Wow. Mm.
And so I, you know, and I thought it was funny. And the whole reason we were doing it was because we were doing it on chingobling.com as a splash.
Yes, a splash page. So when you'd arrive at my website, this thing would start playing just to kind of like fuck with people, right? Be disruptive.
Yeah.
Somebody ripped it.
Somebody ripped it.
With a flash player rip or screen grab, and they uploaded it to YouTube. And so this motherfucker had more vision than me.
That's fine.
Whoever this kid was, rest in peace, Brian. I started suspecting it was Brian.
Yeah.
Because the YouTube page that it was on, it just sounded like a username that he would have came up with.
It went super viral. I'm talking about like.
And then I had to grab it and like, well, fuck, I need this on my channel too.
Yeah. But, so go ahead.
No, I guess I just, you know, it went viral, multi-million views. If you go on there right now, I think it's at like at. I think it was like 16 million or something.
I was going to say, I forgot, we did the first Toy Story again for IGTV, you know, like formatted for that. And I have the second part and the two Dragon Ball Z ones that I haven't even sent you yet that are ready to go.
Yeah.
And actually, when I went to get it and I typed it in, I figured yours would pop up first, but the other one popped up first. Whoa, so that's where I ripped it from. I was like, that's funny. Crazy. There's the story.
But I'm pretty sure that the Disney encoding algorithm thing, I'm sure YouTube picked up this is Toy Story and I probably got an email. By the way, we got a strike.
Yeah.
Huh?
We got a strike on YouTube.
Yeah, you saw because
Rogan did too for the fucking violence.
Oh, okay. So look, we've been doing
just violence.
Rob had this idea of Theo Juventino doing reactions to like hood fights. And the community guidelines on YouTube say we don't like putazos. Even though YouTube is full of putazos. Full of
it. Yeah.
And they're full of a lot of alt-right stuff and a lot of other crazy things that because of the algorithm, if you start looking up some shit like that, it'll start to like really draw you in to where that's all you're seeing.
Yeah. I'm sure we could appeal it though, because it's just, you're just doing, it was already an existing video. It's not like you created the video.
Maybe, but maybe they feel like, oh, well, now you instigating the fight. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Speaking of posts and videos, yesterday I sent you guys an interesting post.
Oh yeah. The two.
So it's I follow this birthing account, right? And so
you have to show Frank the photo.
So I need to show you. Yes. Yeah, I need to show Frank.
Birthing?
That way he can speak first birth. And if he says something fucked up, I can follow up.
Yeah. Frank will say the fucked up shit first. Yeah.
So let me show it to you, Frank, so that you can
in the hood when we talk about birthing.
Usually it's me that says something.
In the hood, birthing ain't even that popular. In the hood, we'd be like, man, I ain't never even been at a birth. I never had a birth. So fuck birth.
A birth. What did I say?
Nah, I'm just clowning. Oh. How he was like 9/11.
A birth, yeah, like a birth, like a baby kinda, having a birth.
I'm like, I ain't never been to New York.
Right. I ain't never gonna see no birth.
So swipe.
Yeah, peep it.
What the?
There you go.
What the? This man laid out.
This man got a vagina.
What got a Miller Lite
beard and a vagina?
What got a Miller Lite belly?
Pregnant belly.
So basically, what it is I follow this birthing account, right? And so they posted this couple.
It looked like he had a long day. He's got the blindfold.
It's physically it looks like two men, right? But one of the men.
Like a dude taking a shit.
100%. The man looks like Bert Kreischer taking a dump.
Well, that's.
That's what
I had to do.
And. I
sat on the toilet.
They
like
make
that
you do all kinds of things
to push.
Unless you have a hospital birth, it's just lay down, don't move, stay on your back.
So I did back and forth and anyway.
Set it up,
so. Yeah. So anyway, so I clicked on it because I was like, oh, wow, what is this? Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to talk about maybe he had some kind of something happened, you know, I don't know really what it was. Well, then it goes on to, so it's a female who's transitioning into a male. Uh-huh. So still has the organs and everything of a female, right?
Still has eggs.
But physically, she's transforming into a male. So she's got the beard. So he's got the beard and you know.
Yeah, so now she looks like a barista named Kevin.
Barista.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Oh, so who does that look like? Who would you say this?
Definitely Kevin.
Like, no, but like there's a comedian or somebody this person looks like. Yeah, a beard. Right. What do you call them glasses?
Drew Carey glasses?
Yeah, yeah, like Drew Carey's nephew. But anyway, go on.
So anyway, so yeah, it's a pregnant man, I guess, right? In essence, technically?
Kinda.
Sure.
So basically, I guess biologically, genetically, it's still a woman giving birth.
Uh-huh.
But it just fucks with your mind because as you could zoom in, she had the breast removed, mm-hmm. right? That's usually when women are transgender into a man, they usually have the breast removed and they put them on a lot of testosterone, right. I'm assuming. That's probably going to be the main hormone.
Yeah, estrogen blocker.
So what we were tripping on is if you're on estrogen blockers and they pumping you up with testosterone to now you look like Kevin and now you got a beard, hairy chest,
yeah.
by the way.
Oh.
No
man.
How does that?
What?
It's trippy because it's a woman at the bottom. How do all those hormones still allow for natural birth? Like if you're on testosterone, how does your body still?
And she or he, because he's obviously wanting to be a man. I'm going to say he.
Yeah.
But it's really the females. Hey,
we're trying to be that PC because it's still a woman giving birth.
It is a woman giving birth.
Who's
transgender.
Transitioning
into male.
Sure, guys.
Well, we're trying to explain, like, basically the mama. Even though it looks like two papas.
Right.
We're just going to call this one mama papa.
Yeah, sure. So
mama papa,
right? My thing is with mama papa is she still had a natural home birth.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go to the hospital. So I guess mama papa, like, really in her heart felt like she still wanted to have a home birth, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Go ahead. And on top of that, it's kind of like, does it make her partner gay or does it make him heterosexual?
He's still getting coochie. He getting coochie from a dude.
I love where this is going.
Right? So I'm curious. Right? So what is that? How does that? So if physically I look like a man, but I still have a female part, we are having sex like heterosexuals do.
Mm-hmm. So does
that make the other guy gay or does he make it straight because he's still doing?
Here's a better question.
Spectrum.
If you run into a really hot chick who you then find out has a dick and she blows you, does that make you gay?
Nah. It thought it was a chick.
But then that answers our question.
It thought it was a chick with big hands and like a really strong jawline.
No, I mean, some guys nowadays that are doing this whole look better than a lot of females. So,
oh, like Kylie's,
I mean, like Kylie's makeup artist.
Shh. After this, you got to show Frank Kylie's makeup artist.
You know, and I'll say, what is his name, man?
The
most famous guy,
the Kardashian
makeup guy. Oh.
The makeup guy.
There's a makeup guy.
James something. Yeah.
No,
the one that has a Mac deal, the deal with makeup companies.
Yeah, that was the same guy.
Jeffree Star.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, right? But you know, some of them people got skills. You know, Jeffree Star is about to like compete with Kendall Jenner. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Kylie.
He's like, he's on top. He's making it. Like he's got brushes. I was telling you, he even brought out the metal straws. Remember, I was telling you, I was watching. I was like, this guy is doing it. I mean, he's in the Morphe store. However you pronounce it.
I wonder how the females that are in the makeup business, if they feel like, fuck, yet another male trying to enter our space and try to run shit. Like, in other words, it probably already is a male-dominated industry, like the people who own makeup companies.
Mm-hmm. The manufacturer.
But now you have a whole display with a whole bunch of product lines from a dude selling makeup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you see a lot of influencers online. I don't know.
It's a lot of makeup
people.
But
I do see it.
I'm going another direction here, but you know how you're saying, like, you wonder if these females are like, what the fuck, another male coming into?
How do you feel about it?
I mean,
she thinks
really
he's fabulous.
Like, now, how do you feel about a male dominating a female makeup world?
That's just mean as a female. You just gotta.
That's just the market. The market is responding.
That just lets you know the power of makeup.
You got to work harder. You know
what I'm
saying?
That's the power of makeup.
You
got
to work harder. But what I'm getting at is yesterday I was listening to a podcast that my girlfriend sent me. And this girl went to high school with us and she was a guest on this podcast, right? And basically what this girl does is she only interviews female entrepreneurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so her thing is called Project Mockingbird. And what she does is she tries to explain to females, like, hey, the same way males go and play golf together, females need to go play or do whatever to network and talk about business to help each other, because they, as males, help each other. And, hey, dude, let me connect you. I got this guy who can work it out, blah, blah, blah. But they're out playing golf or they're doing whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is that's, you know, males like do to network, right? Versus or go to a game, right? Like, I know that when my aunt had her business, they used to strip club, right? They used to buy season tickets to like the Texans or the Rockets, whatever. And then the doctors that they had under contract, they'd give them free, you know, to keep the network and the relationship going. I mean, you know about all that stuff. Yeah. Sure. So she was like, that's so her seminars are about women needing to learn how to network, and not network as in let me go to this mixer and have a drink. What do? Here's my business card. No, like legit say, let me connect you because this is what we're doing. And so she talks about some of her clients that she has on. It's not like she has a huge following, but she's been in business for a while. She quit her corporate America job to start this agency. She's been in business for 5 years. It's gone well. She went from a staff of one working out of her house to a staff of seven now, seven females that help support this. So going to that, it's like, it's about, if you're afraid of a man coming into a female industry, it looks like as females, we just need to work better and harder and support each other, legit, not support fake. We're supporting each other. And then we turn around like, see what that bitch trying to do? Come on now. She, you know, no, like legit support and, you know, network and connect and really make it an effort to like help other, you know, females. If that's what you want to do, if you really are about like that life, legit support. Don't legit support and then go off and talk about how, you know.
I just met Frank yesterday for the first time. Like, obviously, I've heard of you for a while now. And immediately we started talking about business. And he brings up Kevin O'Leary. He's like, oh, Mr. Wonderful. He's like, that's his favorite person. And somehow we started talking about, you said women are the, what did you say?
Yeah, I was about to say that. So my hero is Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, the bald-headed guy. But a lot of the ventures that he's a part of, like, they're all, like, ran by females. And like he says, he says that all the ventures that he has with females, they all like paid the money back and they're profitable more than, you know,
the males.
Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, the future is female. They said, he said it. He said, if you want something done, give it to a single mother. I'm like, he crazy. But he said that, you know, the stats prove.
So that's your favorite. Yeah, right. That's my slogan now. No, hey, man. Hey, man, check this
I'm
out.
I'm quoting him. He said it.
He pulled her to the corner. Say, little mama, I see you hurting your feet. But like Kevin O'Leary say, you want something done right, give it to a single female. So is you is or is you ain't.
So I'm here to give you this presentation.
Check this out, baby. You know, you need new
pitch
management.
Something to her.
But I will say that a lot
like,
of
you up here stripping for what? For what?
For what? I will say a lot of people probably don't know, but, you know, there's a lot of grants out there for female businesses. Mm-hmm. So if you're a female, you're starting a business, there's a lot more money out there right now for female-owned businesses. They actually have a thing they have, it's women-owned business, some kind of like organization. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to, you know, get into business and you're a female, the time is right.
That's
now.
Something like a mixer type of thing that I would like to do on a smaller scale. I don't know about no seminar just yet, but I would only want for people to come, like panel of speakers who can legit do something for the women who are going to attend. Don't come if you're just going to explain something to them, because we have the internet and we have YouTube. There's Google. There's resources out there if you want to do the research yourself. However, there's so many seminars out there that'll give you the information, but then you're back to square one, because what do you do with the information if you're not actually, I'm not saying hold her hand and instruct them how to do it, but legit give them like some resources, like tell them that me, myself, Marisol sent you and she's going to help you, you know, get your stuff in order, set up your LLC, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be, you know, but legit give that like real information, like a panel of women up there speaking is great. Mm-hmm. You're charging $500 a head for these VIP tickets at these seminars, right?
I'm in war for some.
I'm in the wrong.
I filmed them.
Yes. Yeah. No, so true. They're charging.
I'm in the wrong business.
Right. Because I wanted to attend one in LA when we were out there. And I was like, what? I'm not paying this to attend. Like,
She didn't even, at that point, she was like, yeah, I'm a veto this.
Yeah,
myself.
I'm not. Like, you know, I was like, at a time, like, hey, can you watch the girls so that I can go attend this? And then I saw the price and I was like, wait, no, because, okay, so let me not be lazy then. So, because it tells you what they're going to talk about, right? Yeah. So, okay, so let me go ahead and take those points and I'm going to go get on Google and research it myself, because there's, maybe there are single mothers, right, who are trying to figure out how to make some extra change. Well, do you think that they have extra $500 just laying around to go to your seminar that all you're going to do is give her paperwork and a what is it, what are those? Those grab bags or whatever they are.
They upsell you packages.
Yeah, with all the you know, people who sponsor them give you free shit for you to take, which is a great perk, right? Because you get to take all this stuff home. That's great.
And
but
then that plastic ends up in the ocean.
Yeah. But, and then what do you,
killing turtles.
And then what do you do with those? Oh, you admire these women. Man, I can't believe she started blah, blah, blah business. Stories. That's amazing. So I get the motivation, right? Because I try to do that on Tip Tuesdays. You know, I try to push that motivation onto females. Like, you can do anything you want to do if you really set your mind to it. And it may take you 5 years, 10 years, whatever, however long it's going to take. But if you do it yourself and you do the research and you network and you go out there, then it's kind of like way more rewarding.
It is,
I don't
but
know.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this first, Frank. Have you ever gone to one of those, to an actual conference, and bought something? Because when you go to those, they're selling something. Of course, they're selling you something you could take, right? Have you bought, actually invested in that? Because that's what a lot of people don't do. They go to these things, like I've been to some of these, and then the people that don't buy, that's what you're getting out of that event. People that do buy, you're getting the seminar plus the course that they're selling or the classes that they're going to have later on. But those that just go and they get the bleacher seats and they don't invest in anything, then you're just not going to take anything away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give a quick shout out to Jane Empowers, her program.
Programs, man. Info products are the most, and you probably know this as well. It's like the most lucrative business in the world.
Info.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I saw. Shout out to Jane Empowers. What is it? Speak with authority and sell with confidence.
Ah, nice. Mm.
Shout out to Tony Kaufman too. What I saw
shout
was
out podcast.
Shout out podcast.
What I saw is there's these women, right? And then, for example, Jane Empowers, you know what I'm saying? She teaches them how to speak because you know, getting in front of people and speaking. Because, for example, if you're trying to be like a CEO of a company, you're the face of it, or you know,
sure,
you should be, right? And you should know how to talk to people, especially if you're on camera. And, you know, you should know what your bad things, your habits and all that. And so what she does is she trains them and teaches them how to speak. And then while you're there, like all the other vendors, the booths are. So if you need like videos, or if you need like another woman that does some kind of print work, or another lady that has like her own little TV network thing. And so it's like a little community, and they all pay each other. And it's like... and they ultimately become successful. They go on to do their own conferences.
That's great. See, that's when you can provide good information. And not saying that my Tip Tuesday is the fucking
the
shit. Yeah, out here or anything like that. But whatever I know, I seriously do try to spread it to whoever is following me or on my YouTube. I really try to listen, females. Smarten up, because there's no reason for us to feel less than a man, because we can do a lot more than a man. No offense to all the three gentlemen sitting here,
O'Leary.
You know, but
Kevin O'Leary.
Shout out, I mean, no disrespect to the mama papa. She's like, we could grow a beard and get birth
and run it.
So yeah, so I'm kind of weird about those things. Like I've wanted to have some kind of mix. I mean, I've talked to you plenty of times about it. But I want it
tickets
to be
available
super,
now.
Right? I want it to be super informative and like really beneficial to where these the females leave there, not with a grab bag of goodies, but rather a grab bag full of, oh, fuck, when
full
I get
game.
Back, shit, I'm, it's
I got
it.
A bag full of game.
I got some work to do. You know what I'm saying?
Actionable
I got,
stuff
exactly.
They can do. And your Tip Tuesdays and the stuff you do, is that's the catalyst to it. So that's already setting up all the free content you're giving them, is setting it up for the actual event that you do host. People are going to want to go. She's like, she's been giving us free information for, you know, 5 years or a decade or whatever, or a year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to her mixer.
Yeah.
You know the good thing about you, though, is that if you were to do an event like that, you can do like, it's like, it could be, you know, financial... It could be wellness. Mm-hmm. It could be business.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put it on a
podcast. Yeah, influential.
And female empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And empowerment.
We're gonna have Mama Papa on there. Mama Papa on there.
I am gonna have Mama Papa because I want her. I want someone like to explain that to me.
No, I was just tripping. Like the first photo. Look, pull up the photo real quick, and then I have a question for Frank.
Show it to the camera.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, props to this couple for having a baby. Sure. Okay. Cool. This photo. Because you can't tell it used to be a woman and you can't tell it's a pregnant belly. Mm-hmm. It looks like a dude with a big ass beer belly.
And there's plenty of men that look like that too.
Yeah, it looks like Bert Kreischer.
And then you swipe and it's like, oh, that's a baby in there.
Yeah.
Can I see it?
You can swipe it.
100%.
200% right there. And then, what is that going to, YouTube guidelines?
Yeah, I know, right?
The bush.
It got real.
He says White Claw.
White Claw. He sips White Claw.
Now it's like the Taco Bell. Right
Shout out
there.
To White Claw.
Dude, they just came out with a Four Loko version of that, White Claw drink or whatever.
What's White Claw?
I don't drink it, but I know people like it. I don't know what it is.
What is it?
It's like a seltzery, alcoholic, girly kind of drink.
So hey, you have it. Yesterday you brought up the term personal steak.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So based on human behavior and in business and in different industries, because I was around some financial shit and, I learned how to create business models and shit. What successful people do is they create I'm sorry for them big ass words.
I ain't heard not one.
Okay, sorry.
Successful. I'm going to let y'all digest in syllables. So what happened?
They design business models around human behavior. And if you want people to care, have personal stake in something, or want something to win, they got to have either personal stake or financial stake in it. And so this is something that I explained to artists and shit like that, is that, I guess in my case, to use myself as an example and how I used it is, a lot of the times I'll post stuff and I'll share personal things that I'll probably, some adversity that I've gone through. And then my slogan is keep winning, or I'll always, post stuff to kind of motivate and shit like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for not talking in the mic. Mm-hmm. So
I remember my first podcast. Yeah.
So and I think it's another reason why I wear a suit now. It's almost to show you the image. So if you were to see a picture from way back, you're like, okay, look at this motherfucker. Some Air Force Ones and doing this
baggy.
Whatever it was, because I started off
whatever
as an artist.
Whatever it was.
I started off as an artist and I got discovered by Chingo Bloom.
You know what I'm saying?
Not a lot of people know that shit.
I'm talking about
in a parking lot. And so to see me from then.
Oh yeah, I want to tell that story.
to see me from then, to see the images, and then to see then the video thing, and then this new thing, and so I think people that have followed me for a long time, and that have seen me kind of evolve. Because a lot of people, they fear change, or they fear evolving, or taking a chance or a risk going into the next thing. Because I think for the past 2-3 years, I stopped doing music videos. Mm. And it was because, along on that journey, I learned what my passion is in this business, mm. right? And so I guess it almost got to the point where I was like, I built this. I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. The more I keep, it's like playing with the same
yeah.
toys over and over and over and over and over. You're like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. But I need to, step my toy game up, right?
Yeah.
But I guess people that have followed me for a long time, they almost feel like, man, I watched them grow up.
Mm-hmm. So there's personal mm-hmm. stake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, he's, becoming something and I'm watching it. And so that kind of creates personal stake to where people are like, oh, shit, he's doing good. It's I want him to win.
We went from Air Force Ones to Aldo's to the suits.
Hell yeah.
Aldo's was Aldo shoes was the transition. Okay. It ain't Air Force Ones now. So you got the Aldo's, brother.
Mm-hmm. You know what was set off? The one thing that set something off in my brain is when I started getting hired to cover these technology events mm-hmm. and I'm around these people. And to be around it, I'm talking about, I went to San Francisco. I'm talking about, I went to where Facebook is at.
Yeah.
We did an event at IBM. I'm talking about, I'm in IBM,
mm-hmm.
In the building, talking to these people. I'm like, I can't even believe this shit. But, one thing that I didn't see anybody, not one person that looked like me at all.
Wow.
I'm talking about walking around the building. I'm talking about going around mm-hmm. the city, you walk into, you know, these offices and you don't see anybody, nobody with no taper.
Yeah, we talk about, me and my soul talk about sometimes too, about, you know, and you're, what you do, like, you don't see a lot of Latina, you mm-hmm. know, influencers doing specific things like you're doing. Like, you're not just putting out the makeup tutorial. You're not just putting out the other stuff. Like, and the same thing, we talked about financial literacy not too long ago, all of us. Like, there's not a lot of YouTubers that are.
Wow, what's that?
My music just started. It's
the feds. Oh, I was like, what the fuck?
It's feds, well, hey, feds did not like that.
So, that was scary.
Yeah, right.
Feds watching.
I was like, do I need to leave now?
Illuminati's like, you better not. It's like, set it off out here.
Weird what you were saying.
Once I seen that, I said, man, I got to fill in the blanks, you know. And so it's almost like, and I even look around at people's like kids or even their parents. Some parents are scared of technology. They're like, no, I'm not about to. But like seeing what I seen is like, no, this is gonna happen. With you, without you, with your permission, without it, it's going to happen. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I always want to set off a chain reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because I've even spoken to, like, Juan, Cap G's brother. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Juan. You know what I'm saying? CEO, follow that boy.
You know, he's follow
like,
that boy.
He's shout like, out it's good to, like, see a presentation like that, to see yourself like, okay, we can be something like other than, you know, rappers and shit like that and face tattoos and chains and shit. It could be something else. You know, I think if I would have seen that growing up, like, oh, damn, that boy got a tape. It looks like me. And then these people are like, you know, I'm like, shit, I don't know what he's doing, but it looks like better than what I'm trying to do. And so,
yeah, well, you've come a long way. I remember you used to have that big ass camera.
Oh, hell.
And he used to have it on his lap. We'd have like a road trip. He'd be in the backseat, sleep with the big ass camera. And then like, you were filming something for like a model or some type of photo shoot, and it like fell off the tripod and like broke.
Nah, I'll tell you the real funny story.
Okay.
It happened right in front of you.
Okay.
We were in stage, I think in Brownsville or something.
Oh, when you fell?
Yeah.
He like was filming on stage. I'm up there, and then, okay, so Frank's filming. And then next thing you know, Frank ain't there no more. It's a 10-foot stage. Yo, I think Frankie J was a headliner, and he's like looking like, oh shit. And he like fucked up his elbow.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
like it was funny because at that time, like I had just started this filming thing. Like I said, I would play with the camera thing and you know, I met him.
Well, really you were rapping, and then the camera thing was I rap, so I should probably learn how to shoot a video.
Content or something for DVDs.
And then
stuff.
I was like, hey, man, your raps are cool, but the video is kind of cool, decent. So I was like, a lot of people need videos. If you ever thought about, like, exploring that avenue, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's a demand for...
He did tell
because
me
YouTube was new, and it's like there's a demand for, like, low-budget, convincing videos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if you could learn how to work, like, on a small crew with a small budget... You could probably have a lot of, and you probably worked yourself to the bone too, because he was like constantly editing. And yeah. I'm on my way to Dallas to shoot another one, and then they fly me to Chicago, and then Michigan, and then I'm over here in Atlanta, and then I'm back home, and I'm still editing all the videos.
Well, what it was is, you know, he had told me, and I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, my bad.
He had told me, he said, "Hey man, you know, you got the football." He's like, "All you got to do is run that football to the touchdown," and then I was like,
"This is a play."
I was like,
"This
all
is
right.
a possible play."
Yeah.
You don't have to take this particular play, but if it is a play, and I could definitely see it playing out.
Yeah. And it worked.
Wise words.
But if I had never met him, if I had never, I guess if he had never said that, I probably would have never did music videos. It was funny because at the time, I felt it was kind of corny, to be honest with you. I was like, I'm not about to follow nobody with no camera.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, what I look like, a cameraman?
I'm a boss.
Meanwhile, now everybody's following themselves around.
Fuck
with
I look like.
I know, right?
Fuck I look like. With a camera.
And it ended up working. And that's why I don't remember the podcast thing. I was like, fuck that.
He was like so reluctant.
Even
to
at first, he was like, fuck Kevin O'Leary. And then he heard his concept. He's like,
and he bought the same suit he wears. Yeah.
This is actually a Kevin O'Leary.
You know what I'm saying?
Guys. So, well,
I gotta run.
Pick up the little one.
Gotta go pick up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in so much. Frank Lopez by Compound Films. Bye. I wanted to ask you about the CBD stuff you have going on with Crew Bob. That'll have to be for next time.
Next time. He'll be on here.
Yeah. We'll have Crew Bob back on, and they have a CBD thing going.
Put him in a headlock.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're headed to a city near you. Make sure you check out ChingoBling.com. And of course, my lovely wife and I, we're trying to step up our YouTube game. So make sure you follow
my
baby's YouTube.
Yeah, thank you.
Bang.
Sass.